Hey everyone, and welcome back to Disneyland Paris Now, where we'll be covering news and stories about, you guessed it, Disneyland Paris. I'm Eric Anderson, and this is the episode for the third week of November. First things first, a quick correction for the last episode. We mentioned that there were random drop sequences in the Tower of Terror in Paris. There is, however, actually only one sequence. I do apologize for that hiccup, and thanks for letting me know. Today we're talking about Mickey's Filler Magic at Disneyland Paris and the future of Walt Disney Studios. So let's dive right in. First, some news. It's official. Disneyland Paris has announced that Electroland will return to the resort in 2019 and will be held over three nights this year. That's the 5th, 6th, and 7th of July. Disneyland Paris says they'll be expecting around 16,000 guests. Whoa, that's a lot of people. For those of you who don't know, Electroland is basically a music festival that's held inside the Walt Disney Studios Park at Disneyland Paris. This year, it will be its third installment, and from what you get from the press release, it seems that it's doing really well, which is awesome. I think the idea of having a music festival in the park is super cool. Yeah, and seeing them at a third night, it's really exciting. Last year's DJ roundup included Belgium's Henry PFR, the French Klingdand, Bob Sinclair, which we all know from Love Generation and World Hold On, and the German DJ Robin Schulz. It's super international, darling. I love it. Special effects were projected onto the Tower of Terror attraction, and there was also a visit from two of the Marvel's Guardians of the Galaxy characters, Star-Lord and Gamora. Let's be honest, who wouldn't want to get to meet these two cuties? Moving on to Mickey's Filler Magic, which has finally arrived in Paris, and we got to experience it firsthand on our last trip. Some background information for those of you who don't know, Mickey's Filler Magic is a 3D, 5D type attraction, and it's pretty unique, being one of the few in the Disney theme parks in which Walt Disney Imagineering has collaborated with another division of the Walt Disney Company. Specifically in this instance, it was Walt Disney Animation Studios. This is the same partnership that was actually used to develop the Fantasmic shows that you can see at Disneyland in California and Hollywood Studios in Florida. Between the two companies, some of Disney's top talent worked together, including Disney veteran Alex Mann, who developed and scripted the final story, Disney animator Glenn Keane, who re-rendered Ariel from The Little Mermaid in 3D, returning after rendering her in 2D in the original film, and Nick Ranieri, sorry Nick if I pronounced your name wrong, supervising animator of Lumiere in Beauty and the Beast, also returned to animate him in 3D for Mickey's Filler Magic. Most of Donald Duck's dialogue in the show is actually archival recordings by the original voice actor Clarence Nash. Tony Anselmo, Donald's current voice actor, recorded only five few lines for the character in this attraction, such as the scene where Donald Duck hums the tune of the song Be Our Guest from Disney's Beauty and the Beast. The attraction first opened in the Magic Kingdom in 2003, Hong Kong Disneyland in 2005, Tokyo Disneyland in 2011, and Disneyland Paris this October, the year being 2018. Before I start, this review does contain some spoilers. If you want to avoid them, for the love of all that's Disney, stop the podcast, or you can skip ahead a few minutes. You have been warned. First of all, let me start off by saying that I'm very happy that the Discoveryland Theater is finally being utilized for a real attraction, not just some Pixar and Star Wars showreels. I really love Disneyland Paris, so this was actually a really hard review for me to do because I hate saying anything negative about the parks. They're my favorite, and I couldn't imagine a better theme park. But still, I want to be honest with you guys and tell you what I was really thinking. Now, I can overlook the theming inconsistency. This attraction really should be in Fantasyland, but we all realize you can't just drag and drop that theater roller coaster tycoon style somewhere else, so I'll take it in Discoveryland. My main problem is that there was just an apparent lack of effort that was put into bringing Mickey's Filler Magic to Paris. which, if you see it in Walt Disney World or Tokyo, is so amazing. It's such an amazing show. It's immersive. The story is super cute. And, well, we do get that amazing story, but the immersion is just really lacking. We don't have the effects. We have no send effects, or at least they didn't work when I was on it. The screen doesn't expand. There's a scene in the Walt Disney World version where the screen actually grows and it expands to this massive screen that just engulfs you. And, well, they just kept the regular old Honey, I Shrunk the Audience screen in Paris. Didn't add anything there. Also, the Donald Duck animatronic, if you're familiar with the Florida or Tokyo version, which after the final scene, Donald is blasted into the back of the theater and you can see his booty there and his little legs shaking and he falls into a hole that was blasted into the back of the theater. Also don't have that in Paris. So, yeah. Also, the Discoveryland Theater still features the Imagination Institute lightbulb logos above the doors. And come to think of it, outside in the queue as well. Even the main theater screen still had that small cutout in the upper left-hand corner from the Honey, I Shrunk the Kids show. And the projectors weren't calibrated for it because they just projected onto that darkened surface. It was really distracting me the whole time. I mean, come on, Disney. You guys, we all know you can do so much better than that. The lack of attention to detail is really what shocked me the most. I mean, these are fundamental elements that help tell the story. Having so many missing effects and overlooked or ignored decorations really, really broke immersion for me. If you haven't experienced it in person, I'm going to go through a quick walkthrough of the Walt Disney World version of the attraction and then cover some key differences between it and what we got in Paris. Mickey Mouse is performing with his PhilharMagic Orchestra at the Fantasyland Concert Hall. As you enter, there are posters advertising the concert hall's past productions and performers. Upon entering the theater's lobby, guests pick up their opera glasses, which are, 3D glasses. During their wait, guests hear orchestral music from Fantasia, Fantasia 2000, and other Disney animated films. So, in the Paris version, you do have a few posters of various Disney characters in the outdoor queue. But as I mentioned before, you also still have the Imagination Institute logo present here and there. So it's, After you enter, for lack of a better term, the lobby, which also remains unchanged since Captain EO, whose logo is still clearly visible as it's burned into the plasma television screens distributed throughout the room, random musical notes are visualized on the screens. So, I mean, I guess at least they're using the screens for something. Back to the Walt Disney World version. Goofy, the concert hall stage manager, admits the guests into the main theater, where final preparations for the performance are underway.
Well, hi, everybody! Now that you're here, go ahead and pick a row you want to sit in, and keep stepping till you're all the way across. That's right, buddy! Keep it a-moving! And for your safety, please don't go putting on your special Opry glasses till someone tells you, okay? Thanks.
Minnie Mouse tells the guests to put on their opera glasses. Minnie then realizes that Donald Duck has gone missing and goes to tell Mickey. Goofy then raises the curtain to reveal that the stage is empty, except for a conductor's podium and Donald, who's sleeping in a box. Mickey races onto the stage in a hurry, quickly telling Donald to unpack the instruments.
Mickey! Where's Donald? The orchestra's missing it. It's showtime.
Showtime?
Well, I gotta open the curtains.
Goofy, we're not ready.
What's that? I can't hear you, Mickey.
Oh my gosh. Donald, wake up. It's showtime.
Mickey places his famous sorcerer's hat on the podium, then leaves, telling Donald.
Don't forget the orchestra. And don't touch the hat.
After Donald unpacks all the instruments, including a grand piano from the small box, he's tempted to try on the sorcerer's hat himself. He does so, which causes the magical instruments to come to life and play an extremely unpleasant melody. However, when Donald picks on and taunts a small flute, the other instruments rise up against him, creating a chaotic whirlwind of magic and music. Donald loses the hat in the storm and passes through different scenes from different movies while trying to retrieve the hat. After the whirlwind passes, Donald finds himself in the dark with Lumiere, the candelabra, who begins to sing Be Our Guest from Disney's Beauty and the Beast. Triggering hidden smell cannons in the theater, guests can smell the food, and when the bottles pop, they feel a quick blast of wind in their faces surrounded by cakes, which trigger hidden air cannons in the back of the seats. Okay, back to Paris here real quick. As previously mentioned, in Paris we don't get any of the smell, and the screen doesn't expand. What they did in Paris is artificially shrink the screen by adding animated curtains, and when the expansion is supposed to take place, right after the chaotic whirlwind, the animated curtains withdraw and the film fills the regular screen. Which just isn't the same. Back to the original. The dark comes back for a second. When the light focuses, the guests find themselves in the Sorcerer's Apprentice, where Donald has shrunk. The walking brooms come in, spilling water on Donald. Guests feel the water on their laps, triggered by hidden water sprayers in the back of the seats. A broom Donald's size comes in, carrying a big bucket. Donald snatches the bucket away, but only gives it back when a giant broom comes in. The giant broom spills water on Donald, taking guests into The Little Mermaid, where Ariel is singing Part of Your World from Disney's The Little Mermaid. At the end of the song, an electric eel shocks Donald while trying to kiss Ariel. Guests are now in The Lion King, where Simba is singing I Just Can't Wait to Be King from Disney's The Lion King. After that, guests go to Peter Pan, where the chorus is singing You Can Fly from Peter Pan. Peter sprinkles pixie dust on Donald, which gives him the ability to fly. Finally, guests go to Aladdin, where Aladdin and Jasmine are singing A Whole New World. This time, Donald retrieves the hat by Jasmine placing it on his head. Unfortunately, the hat gets knocked away by Lego, and Donald jumps after it. He encounters the magical whirlwind from earlier. Donald gets sucked inside, finding himself back on stage, still in the whirlwind. Mickey returns, puts on the hat, and uses its powers to restore order. As Mickey conducts the orchestra, Donald gets stuck in a tuba, which launches him across the theater so that he lodges headfirst in its back wall. Donald, in audio animatronic form, is stuck in a hole in the back of the theater. Only his rear end and his legs are visible. After struggling from falling in, he eventually falls into the hole and is no longer seen. In the end, Goofy tells the audience to return their opera glasses in the bins outside of the theater and says goodbye to the guests.
I sure hope you like the show, everybody! Oh, and on your way out, please put your Opry glasses in the special containers near the exit. Thanks! And have a Philharmagical day!
So, in Paris, we don't get Donald or the hole in the wall, which I was really looking forward to seeing that effect there, so I was extra disappointed. If you haven't had a chance to experience Mickey's Philharmagic at Disney World or in Tokyo Disneyland, it's definitely super awesome that you can do it now in Paris, even if it's a watered-down version of the original. Still better than nothing, right? The two positives I can say about the Paris edition is that the projection is digital, so it's nice and crisp, and the Discoveryland Theater's motion platform is nicely programmed, so you definitely feel some of that motion, especially during Aladdin's flying carpet scene. I just really wish that they'd put a little more effort into the retheming of this attraction, which, let's be honest, retheming lately has become sort of a trend in the parks. Thinking of Hyperspace Mountain here, or Guardians of the Galaxy Mission Breakout in California, which actually was rethemed really, really well. So retheming can be awesome. It needs to be done right. So it's just extra disappointing to see such minimal effort put into the job here in Paris. To me, it just really felt like watching Mickey's Philharmagic in the hollowed out carcass of Honey, I Shrunk the Audience. Moving on to something more positive. Walt Disney Studios. Now, I'm sure by now we've all heard about the massive $2 billion expansion announced back in February coming our way. It's super exciting. Now, this expansion does entail an Iron Man and Avengers retheme of the Rock and Roller Coaster. Basically, the attraction will retain the core ride system, but completely change the experience both inside and out. The concept artwork that was released with the original expansion announcement shows a new curved facade, which really completely changes the look of the current Studio 8 and 9 building. No closing date has yet been announced, although there have been some rumors circulating that you've got roughly to the end of this year to ride Aerosmith's Rock and Roller Coaster one last time, before the attraction closes for its year-long retheme. Personally, I'm really looking forward to the expansion, and yes, even the rethemes of the attractions currently there. Jim Hill, who by the way has an excellent podcast named The Disney Dish, hashtag not sponsored by the way, I really just enjoy listening to him and Lynn Testa talk about Disney, mentioned that Armageddon might be turning into some sort of Iron Man reactor experience, which also sounds quite intriguing. Also taking place in the now derelict Cinemagique is the new Marvel Superheroes United live show, which will feature something really cool. It's gonna have, you guys, it's gonna have indoor drones, projection mapping, pyrotechnics, and one of Europe's largest LED screens. Oh my gosh, I'm so excited for it. The show is going to be performed 5 times a day, and looking at some of the concept art, we can see that the show features Iron Man, Captain America, The Incredible Hulk, Doctor Strange, Black Widow, Spider-Man, and Black Panther. I'm really looking forward to seeing it. It sounds like it definitely has a lot of potential, and I'm super excited to see what Disney does here. Disneyland Paris trivia. Did you guys know that we have the fastest iteration of Space Mountain right here in the Paris parks? Space Mountain here reaches up to 71 kilometers an hour, or 44 miles per hour. It has 3 inversions and an electric winch launch system, making it one of the most thrilling rides at the Disney parks. If you hear any interesting Disneyland Paris news or stories, or you'd just like to get in touch, you can reach us at disneylandparisnow@yahoo.com. Thank you to disney.wikia.com and tlptoday.com, all of which are the excellent sources for the information compiled in this episode of the podcast. Audio excerpts and citations are used for educational purposes only. Copyright The Walt Disney Company. All rights reserved. Thank you for joining me today. For Disneyland Paris Now, this is Eric Anderson. Have a great day. Bye-bye.